we present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello, and welcome to a new series of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. And for the next 10 weeks at this time, I can promise you laughs all the way. But for them, you'll have to retune now to Radio 3. Meanwhile, sitting on my right, we have Tim Brooke-Taylor and Willie Rushton. And on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. Well, sadly, our usual scorer, Samantha, can't be here today. So in her place, would you please welcome, now that she's given up her day job, our new scorer, Monica.
Ah!
Right, first game coming up. This round takes as its premise the poverty of the international film industry. For economic reasons, new films will have to be the remains of two or more old films, and the teams will give me the resulting titles, and those that get the best titles will take away more marks than they ever dreamed of. Right, we'll start with you, Barry Cryer.
They've combined Jaws and Idiot's Delight in a new film called The Derek Jameson Story.
Yes, Willie.
This is extraordinary. But actually, the French, in their wisdom, have combined Jaws with Platoon and produced Plat du Jaws.
Graham?
Yes, I heard they're combining Tom Thumb and Crocodile Dundee. They don't know what to call it, but it'll be something short and snappy.
Tim?
Producers of Death Wish 1 and Death Wish 2. have got together to produce the Jeffrey Archer story.
Yes, very good so far, considering you're all rusty.
Oh, your pet name for me.
This is rather personal. They've combined me and my girl, three sisters and three men and a horse, and they're calling it Mind Your Own Business.
Graham. Have you got another one?
Well, yes, speaking of Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, they're combining that with Artists and Models and producing a film called Peace Artists.
Quite a good one is Blow Up and the Italian Job, which is going to be filmed as Up Pompeii.
For those listening at home, that buzz was me with my buzzer. I just fired a warning shot across the room. Any more before we rush on to the next game?
No, in a word.
Right. This is the point where I give the teams advance warning of the late arrivals that they'll be announcing at the end of the programme. And this week we'll be asking them for late arrivals at the World War II ball.
That's a light subject to start with.
Right, now, the game called Good News, Bad News. It's the game where one member...
Out with it!
Easy for you to say that.
The lip has definitely gone now.
Poor old devil.
Anyway, you know the game. Willie Rushton's going to start. Willie Rushton, are you going to start with the good news?
Just for you, Doctor.
Thank you.
Good news. Andrew Lloyd Webber's written a new musical.
Bad news, he's using the same tune.
Good news, Sarah Brightman isn't playing the female lead.
Bad news, Andrew Lloyd Webber is.
Good news, it's Joan of Arc.
Bad news, he's written a happy ending.
Good news, disguised as a cat, Joan escapes on roller skates to Argentina.
Bad news, and writes a new musical.
Good news, it's 15,000 miles from London and not a sign of Andrew Lloyd Webber. That's fine, exit.
Do for me.
Is that a Dick Whittington reference?
That deserved a round of... Well, it didn't, but it's going to happen. And we'll start with you again, Willie.
This is inspired by the fact Timbrook Taylor produced his at lunchtime. it'll make sense in a moment when I say it. Good news, I've just bought a pocket television set.
Bad news, it only works in my pocket.
Good news, but I've found a place to put the aerial.
Bad news, I'm still getting a lot of interference.
I thought that was good news in your book. Good news! I can now invite friends round to my trousers to catch up with the Colbys.
Bad news is that Charlton Heston's hairpiece fools nobody.
Good news, that's not Charlton Heston's hairpiece, thank you very much.
Bad news, you should see what's on the other side.
We're going on to a round now which is called the Bad-Tempered Clavier, mainly because that's what it's called. And the aim of it is to see how much of a song a team can sing when accompanied by a pianist who is both tone-deaf and incompetent. And as Richard Clayderman is busy tonight... That man is Colin Sell. Tim and Willie, your song is High on a Hill is a Lonely Goat Herd.
High on a hill was a lonely goat herd. Lee, little, 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 loud was the voice of the lonely goat herd. Lee, little, little, folks in a town that was quite remote heard lay-o, lusty and clear from the goat herd's throat heard lay-o, lay-o. On the bridge of a castle moat heard lay-o, lay-o, lay-o. Men on a road with a load to tote heard lay-o, lay-o. Men in the midst of a troubled doat heard lay-o, lay-o, lay-o. Men in the beer with a rowing boat heard lay-o.
That's the best that song ever was.
We're going to have a song now from Barry and Graham, and it's Swanee.
Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I'd give the world to be among the folks in the IXI, even though my name is always made for me. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore. Swanee, oh.
More.
Less.
Tim and Willie are in the lead, and we go on now to... the round that you've all been waiting for, the controversial round, Mornington Crescent. After the last series, we had several letters complaining that the rules have been getting too complicated of late. So today, teams, we're going to play by the original modern rules. Okay?
Modern rules?
Yep. The original modern rules.
The original modern rules.
Yes.
Revised. Not the modern.
Don't argue with the chairman.
No, it's clear enough.
How could you have original modern... Right, if it's clear to you, then, Graham, you can start.
Oh, dear.
Stupid.
And... is this the original modern rules?
Graham, in that order.
Not revised.
Will you start, Graham, please?
Exeter Gate.
Oh, God. Costa Road.
Cromwell Road.
Archway.
Cole Park.
Paterson Road, NW2.
You don't have to do NW2 in the The original.
But there are several Paterson Roads, and you will follow my gist in a moment.
No, you don't have to do NW2, the original.
If he has done that, it could be...
Well, you didn't.
No, I'm being fair, because it would act in our favour that he has.
I'd just give you any old Paterson Road. It would have been easy for you, wouldn't it?
Chairman speaking, I'm sorry.
You didn't have to in the original rules, but they changed that for the modern rules. So carry on, Graham.
It's the Jubilee line that threw that one, in fact.
Earl's Court. It's Earl's Court.
Yes.
Trafalgar Square.
Northumberland Avenue. Quite right.
Belsize Park Road.
That's good.
Was good.
Hampstead.
Warrington Crescent.
Dim. Yeah. Very well intercepted. Very good interception there, by
the way. Hence the NW2, Barry Cryer. Know it all.
All right.
Right. I'm not a bad loser. It's time for the listeners to this programme to get their own back, and God knows they deserve it. Because we're going to have some listeners' questions in our programmes from now on, and I'm going to read one out now, and the team will answer it rightly or wrongly. The question this week is in two parts, and it comes from Mrs. Megan Roney of Poole in Dorset. She would like to know if any members of the team have seen her car keys.
Luckily, Humphrey,
can we work together?
You can all four confer. This is not competitive.
No stranger to her khakis, and indeed I've got a hand in her beiges and mauves and a very jolly pink sweater she wears.
Khakis.
I think she had the keys to her car.
Oh, right. They were thrown into the middle of a living room last night. strange how you always end up with three pairs and nothing else.
Are these the ones?
Tim just finished up with somebody else's car. It was a bad night, wasn't it?
Those are not the ones.
At least it went.
Those are not the ones. Because I know Graham saw them, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Are these the ones?
Those are the same ones you just picked up.
Might be a second-hand car.
And I have it on good authority she only has one pair.
Oh! Have a care, Doctor.
Sure he is.
You're not going to get it, are you, teams?
Well,
you're
not going to get it.
Actually, yes.
That is, in fact, not the right answer. So, Mrs. Megan Roney, you're halfway to getting your prize. Now, we go on to the second part of her question, which is, what was on the television before it was invented?
Glass of flowers. George Cansdale. Remember George Cansdale, the zoo man? Do you remember George Cansdale?
Yeah.
Stand up if you remember George Cansdale.
You can't stand up.
But if you can remember George Cansdale, you can't stand up.
It's very close to what Willie's just said.
But it's for those in stereo.
Come along, teams. We'd better hurry along with this one. I don't think you're near it.
The Crimean War.
He's very close, but I don't think I can give it to you.
No.
Oberon War.
So Mrs. Megan Roney wins. Mrs. Megan Roney wins that round, and we'll get her prize. An inflatable Willie Rushton will be on the on its way to you sometime during.
I'd like one too.
We have a round now called Paranoia, in which one team decide that there is something wrong with the other, and they have to guess what's wrong with themselves by asking questions. I don't know whether to read that again, because it doesn't make much sense. But you know what I mean. The aim is to make the team in question paranoid and to leave the studio audience twitching, which they are already. Barry and Graham, you're going to start now. Your affliction is going up on the audience laser computer scoreboard. And here's a mystery voice to tell you at home what it is.
They think they are Peter Wright. They think they are Peter Wright.
Barry and Graham, you have to now interrogate Tim and Willie to find out what's wrong with you.
Well, it's obviously not very funny, whatever it is.
It's long.
Makes us laugh.
What's long and makes them laugh?
Is this a generic term? I mean, do we think we're a group of persons?
I don't think we're allowed to...
Certainly not. No. We couldn't know.
We can't.
Oh, is security involved in this?
Well, not anymore.
Do we think we're Peter Wright?
Tim and Willie's affliction's now going up on the board, and here's the mystery voice to tell you what it is at home.
They think they are guppies. They think they are guppies.
Right, Tim and Willie, will you start interrogating the other?
Have we ever been to the Albion Hotel?
You could well be there as we speak.
My solicitors will be in touch in the morning.
Lucky for your solicitors.
Define your terms.
Just keep fishing around.
Fishing, something to do with underwater creatures. We're newts. No, we're not. We're tadpoles.
So it doesn't show from here.
Does on radio.
I'll have to hurry you along.
Anyone going to sit here listing
plankton,
fish?
We think we're plankton.
You're not plankton.
No, no, I'd say you're bigger than plankton.
We're whales.
That's somewhere between plankton.
Sharks.
What was that strange impersonation you were doing? Right, no, goldfish.
You think we're goldfish?
We're Ruth Maddock. Goldfish.
Gold, silverfish.
Upwardly mobile you may be, but you're not yuppies.
Oh, we are yuppies.
We're guppies. Yes.
You are.
Yes.
Yes.
Gently upwardly mobile.
Geriatric.
With the scores level pegging, we go on now to the round, the point of which is not to amuse the studio audience.
Again.
It's called Straight Face, and what happens is that each panellist in turn says a word, and the first one to get a laugh, or even a titter, from the studio audience is disqualified. The game continues until only one person survives, and he will, as a reward, get to have a look in my little box.
Is this in a cricketing context?
That would be massive.
How could it be a little box, Barry?
The mighty Wurlitzer? Good Lord.
So far, Tim and Willie. So far, Tim and Willie have been disqualified. No, we'll start seriously with you.
We'll start seriously.
And very seriously, please, right. Barry.
Coccyx.
Box.
Buzzer.
Tiny.
Deltoid.
Bus.
Boomerang.
Guppy.
Plenitude.
Bowls.
Did I hear a titter?
Yes, what?
Come on!
Sorry, Willie. You take a back seat now.
At least we know what makes them titter.
Graham, start off again.
Plod.
Total.
Potato.
Brouhaha.
Flange.
Pirouette.
Jeté.
Knickers.
That was suicide.
Yes. There was a lemming approach to that one. I was losing the will to live.
I assume you walked. You didn't.
You're
not waiting for my
decision. I walked.
Right.
Certainly. Thank you, Doctor.
Barry and Graham, it's between you two.
Who's first?
Well, artichoke. Let's say Graham. He seems to have a word welling up.
Artichoke.
Gusset.
Limb.
Plinth.
Slime.
Formaldehyde.
Oh, dear. I don't know where you get them from. Oh, come now. He's disqualified for that.
I heard nothing.
Oh, good.
Comatose, that's your
trouble.
Got his earpiece in.
Graham's disqualified for arguing with the chairman. And Barry's
quite right, too. Thank you.
Quite right.
In this next round called Sing-Along, each team have to sing along with a disc. We're going to fade out the record and they'll be left on their own. After a while, the disc comes back and the team scores points if they're still with it. This is a duet job, as you can hear. And we start the round with Tim and Willie, who are going to sing Anything You Can Do.
The results are still coming.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be, I can be greater. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you.
No, you're not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I can shoot a partridge with a single cartridge.
I can get a sparrow with a bow and arrow.
I can live on bread and cheese.
Only on that?
Yes.
So can a rat.
Anything you can sing, I can sing higher.
I can sing anything higher.
I can sing anything higher than you.
Tim and Willie get a bonus of 10 marks for being the only team in my memory who got out of sync while the music was still going on. Barry and Graham, it's your song now, and it's I Wonder Why.
Put your head on my shoulder. You need someone who's older. I rub down with a velvet glove. There is nothing you can take to relieve that pleasant ache. You're not sick, you're just in love.
2, 3, 4.
You don't need
singing, and there's no
it is
one there.
So surprising.
I smell blossom and the trees are bare. All day long I seem to walk on air. I wonder why.
Excellent. Now, you've probably seen the television program Call My Bluff. We're going to have an entertaining version of that game. I'm going to give our team members a word which they must define, and at the end I'll try to guess which is the true definition. Teams, your word is antelope.
And whom to go
you,
first?
You, Barry, of course.
Oh, me! Antelope. The original of that is, in fact... Thank you, Graham. Glass of water, listeners. All been passed by the producer. The original of that is aboriginal because it's to do with Aborigines hunting kangaroos and koala bears in the outback, or in the inside lab if there is one. And they would catch kangaroos and koala bears and make pyjama cases with pouches outside for the slippers. But in their progress, they would come across an anthill. And wearing only loincloths, they would leap over it as a safeguard. The Australian government have, in fact, tried to dissuade them from this practice as a primitive family planning measure. But it is Aboriginal anthill hop. Anthill hop, an Aboriginal anti-vasectomy manoeuvre.
Right, Willie, let's hear your definition.
Well, antelope... is a melon, but the seeds dropped off. And I'll tell you how. Before big game hunting, people used to go out and shoot fruit and vegetables. And there was this famed African big fruit and vegetable hunter, Nairobi Stan, who was out shooting melons, and a native bearer ran up and said, "Heard of antelope?" He said, "No, I haven't." thinking to himself... that the illiterate fellow must be thinking of cantaloupe. And he proceeded to blaze away, only to discover that these were four-legged creatures. They bled, they moved, they died. He thought this was much, much more sporting. So it's a melon.
Right, Graham, what about yours?
Come back with me now to ancient Greece.
You said that last time.
And you wouldn't come, would you?
The weather's been terrible, anyway.
Right. Odysseus went away on his travels, leaving behind his wife, Penelope. Now, Penelope's mother's sister was called Antelope. And she was a delightful member of the family. She was known as Ante for short. So... Antelope gave name to all parents' sisters in the future. They became known as aunties. That was later shortened to aunt. So that's how we get our word aunt or gazelle.
Finally, your definition, Tim Brooke Taylor.
Come with me
after the show, but at the moment, you may wonder, is there a word for that movement that precedes a high jump? Fosbury knows there is. And at that moment, when they sort of up and down like that, and the ladies, it's wonderful. Don't you admire their fragrance? Oh, come to my chair. No. Nearly on the plate, nearly on the plate. Yes. It's that movement. It's called the anti-lope. It's the before the lope. It is actually, the more common meaning is, of course, a five-sided sixpence.
Yes. Well, I've got four definitions to choose from. I'm not enamoured with any of them, really. And as Monica's lovely score has been sitting here like a lump through the whole programme, I'm going to confer with her.
Well, give her a lump sum, then.
There she is, doing the anti-lope at this very moment.
I've got the Aboriginal antics from Barry Cryer. I've got the melon from Willie Rushton. I was distracted by our scorer during Graham Garden's dissertation, so I can't remember what he said. And then we have the preliminaries to the high jump. So I'm going to go for, I think, the most convincing definition was yours, Graham Garden. Will you show us the card, true or bluff?
Oh.
Oh.
Well done.
Well, I'm going to get one right one day.
Yeah.
Oh.
Lord.
Very good. Right. We're going on to the game where I ask the teams to give their late arrivals for the World War II ball. And Monica and I are going to have a little lie down while they go. Who's going to start?
I think we should start at the top with the Earl of Britain, who, of course, is known as Bert. Bert, Earl of Britain.
Remember the last ball when Dan Kirk, who disgraced himself at the last ball, remember the evacuation of Dan Kirk? And the disgraceful attack on Pearl Harbor at the same time.
Welcome, please, that distinguished flying family from the RAF, Mr. and Mrs. Doubt, and their son or daughter, they're not too sure, Roger Ann Doubt.
Mussolini's going to sing I'm Hanging from a Lamppost at the Corner of the Street. And is the Israeli airline band will be playing, but they haven't plugged in their instruments yet, so will somebody give El Alamein? And
interesting family. They fight them on the beaches with their daughter Michelle. Michelle fight them on the beaches.
Also from the RAF, will you welcome Mr. and Mrs. Sprangdiscrate and their son Charlie's Sprangdiscrate.
Here come the over the river Quarries with their daughter Bridget.
Mr. and Mrs. Byerbeds and their son Stan.
Brings it all back, doesn't it?
A military contingent there, Major Jump, Corporal Punishment and Private Parts.
We're fast approaching the point where I have to wind up this programme.
Just drop the bomb, it'd be making much easier.
So thanks on behalf of our team and myself, and we'll be with you again next week. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Paul Spencer.